And it tells us in this passage that when they brought them in, as many touched the hem of his garment, were made perfectly whole. Now, this garment that our Lord was wearing was in keeping with the law of Moses. If you study sometime the book of Numbers, chapter 15, you will read how the Lord directed that his people throughout the generations would be dressed in a gown with a fringe at the bottom.
And welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and today we're dealing with the message of a leper coming to Jesus for healing. And we see another example of Jesus' ministry of mercy. We have Al Smith to sing for us, "Jesus is my dearest friend." But firstly, our Bible reading in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul's delight in the faith of Christians in Ephesus is declared with one of his famous wherefores. We always ask, what is that therefore, when we meet a therefore or wherefore in Paul's letters? Let's read the verse. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." We see Paul on his knees praying to his God and Savior with thanks upon his lips. He's thankful for two things: their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for the saints. Faith in the Lord Jesus is a precious and wonderful gift. All the blessings, all the electing love of God, and all the outflow of grace from God's reservoirs of heaven are applied to these people because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. We see how it is faith that makes the difference, not birth, not nationality, nor earthly riches. It is faith that saves the soul. Faith is the link between God's grace and man's heart. Faith says yes to the facts of the gospel. Faith rests in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Faith brings Calvary from the realms of his story to become my story. It is the way I have been cleansed and freed from my sin. Faith makes me to accept and rest in the finished work of Christ. His sacrifice, his blood, his call to my soul to be saved become my hope for salvation. Faith makes us partakers of the blessings purchased by the Lord Jesus. We believe in him as God's Son, the perfect Savior of sinners. We believe that his mission was all for me, just as if there was no one else in the world. Faith says, "Jesus died for me. He came from heaven to be my Savior and to give me eternal life." Faith then makes us cling to Christ as our hope and our only hope of heaven. Faith opens our eyes to all the sham religions and phony notions of the devil. Faith sees error as never before, because we have our eyes on the genuine Lord and Savior. Think of a bank teller who has studied the marks of a genuine banknote. Whether it's $5, $10, $20 bill, $20, $50, or $100 bill, you don't easily fool a banker with a phony note, for he has studied the real. That is what faith has done. We have seen the true Savior. We have heard his voice, and the voice of another we will not follow. Faith, therefore, is God's most precious gift. By faith and by faith alone, we are justified. Love does not justify. Meekness, kindness, peace, all these graces do not justify. It is faith alone, in Christ alone, by which we are declared right with God. Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." Note that faith in his blood and nothing else. "To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So, if you want to be a Christian, note this. It is faith that saves, and faith in the blood of Jesus in particular, as the way of pardon from sin. So we can sing, "O happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." This is the day you believed on Jesus. No wonder the Apostle Paul broke in with his wherefore and said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It delighted his heart that these people were given faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith is such a powerful blessing, for it links you up to all that the gospel offers to sinners. Without it, you have no part in the plan of salvation. To doubt it is to be damned. The second thing which Paul rejoiced in was the love which these new Christians showed for the saints, for fellow believers. Jesus had taught, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when ye love one another. That love for fellow believers was the fruit of faith. You are so blessed in your own souls through faith in Jesus, that to hear of another who also believes on him, it rejoices your heart. And it draws you into the bonds of fellowship. There is a oneness of God's sheep, and sheep love to congregate. Faith attracts those of like faith. Faith serves the members of the body who believe on and obey the head, the Lord Jesus himself. May the Lord give you grace today and minister to your heart now as we turn to the hymn by Alan Smith singing, Jesus is my dearest friend.
The seasons come and go, summer sun and winter snow. Though the passing years to earth their changes lend, there is one whose love so free for all time will changeless be. Jesus always is the same true friend.
Matthew 14, this passage that we have looked at already here this morning and read together, I want us to come to the last verse of the text. And it tells us that they brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. For a number of Sunday mornings, we've been looking at a number of miracles of our Lord. The first one he ever performed, turning water into wine. We have seen the Lord do marvelous things. Now, a couple of things really impress us about the miracles of the Lord Jesus. The first thing is that they were of lasting value. The miracles of Jesus was not a Benny Hinn show. A few years ago here in Vancouver when he came along, they brought the sick, they brought the many into the audience. But at the end of the service, what was to be a healing meeting, they had to load the sick back into the ambulances and take them back to hospital again. You never read anything like that in the miracles of the Lord Jesus. The other thing that staggers us is the great variety of people and diseases that he healed. We're told here that they brought unto him all that were diseased. And they came with their blindness, their lameness, their illnesses of all kinds. Truly, the Lord was the great physician. He needed to consult none. He did not need x-ray charts. He did not need a history. He, by his mighty power, healed these people instantly. The sheer number of miracles is absolutely phenomenal. If the Lord Jesus was to do in Surrey what he did in Galilee, our hospitals would be empty. The walk-in clinics would be closed. Because everyone that they brought to the Lord Jesus, he marvelously healed. Now, the interesting thing, and the thing that we want to look at here today specifically, is the manner of touch, or the way that they linked up to the Lord. And it tells us in this passage that when they brought them in, as many touched the hem of his garment, were made perfectly whole. Now, this garment that our Lord was wearing was in keeping with the law of Moses. If you study sometime the book of Numbers, chapter 15, you will read how the Lord directed that his people throughout the generations would be dressed in a gown with a fringe at the bottom. I don't think I've gotten to the bottom of all that that fringe means. Was it special needlework? Numbers mentions a particular color, but appears that down through the generations, the color, the dyeing method was lost. And many Jews wore white gowns. The Pharisees certainly did, and our Lord Jesus did. We know that right here. And there is focus upon this garment that he wore and the hem of that garment. We read in Matthew 9 of a particular woman who for many years was troubled by internal bleeding. And she came and touched the hem of his garment, and straightway, immediately, she was delivered from that disease. So there's something about this touch of that particular garment and the fringe of that garment. There was another that came to Jesus and touched his garment in the crowd, and the Lord knew it because he said virtue had gone out of him. There was a transfer of power from that garment to the individual who touched him. And we see this here in this amazing event when they brought all the diseased, and as many as touched his garment were made perfectly whole. Now I see in this a parable. I see in this a gospel doctrine, the gospel doctrine of imputation. And you say, ah, there he goes again, a theological term that nobody can understand. Well, it simply means to transfer, to impute to our account. And imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, it flows from the covenant of grace that was designed by God the Father, and the Lord Jesus was sent down into the world that he might give life to as many as believed on him, and only they whom the Father would draw would believe on him. And therefore in this picture, this scene of the people with diseases coming and touching the hem of the garment of the Savior is a picture of you and your faith coming into contact with the Lord Jesus to receive righteousness, perfection, a perfection that makes you ready for heaven, that makes you rightly related to God, and brings into your life full salvation, perfect, full, and free. Now, some people consider this doctrine of Bible imputation or gospel imputation a little bit mind-boggling and difficult to understand. Well, that's becomes now the preacher's task, to set before you what it means for you to come into contact with the Lord and to receive virtue, which we're going to interpret biblically here as the life, the perfections of the Lord Jesus transferred to your account. That brings me to what imputed righteousness means. It's a Bible doctrine. We're going to go to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to see that in Paul's marvelous treatment of the doctrine of righteousness or justification, that he deals with this word. We must never run away from Bible words. If we're going to be Bible believers, we need to understand Bible words. And here in Romans chapter 4, verse 2 will begin, and it says, "And if Abraham were justified by works." So this is his salvation. Now, this is Abram, the man of the Old Testament. This is the way by which he was made right with God, just as if he had never sinned, justified. "If Abram were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now, I want to stop at that word counted. The word counted there is a Greek word, logizomai. We would get the English word log. When you log something, you put it down in a notebook. You put it on a ledger. It might be numbers. It might be a long calculation of numbers, and you log it in that account. That's what this means. It was counted to him for righteousness. It was written down. It was put to his account that he was righteous. Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that is justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now I hope you see the parable that I see. That just as the people touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that's what faith does in your life. When you believe on the Lord Jesus with all your heart, you are receiving from him all his perfections or righteousness transferred from his account to yours, logged, imputed, counted, marked down to your ledger, your account. And so this is the way by which you are saved. And that is what justification means, that you are declared righteous. That means that you are treated as if you have never sinned, that you are innocent of all guilt and all charges. And that's how Paul could say in Romans 8:33, "Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is Christ that died." If you are the Lord's child, if you're saved, if you're a believer in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, there is no charge to you. You're free, guilt-free, condemnation-free. You are innocent, just as if you had never sinned in the very sight and presence of God. Now this imputation, this transfer of righteousness is the positive side of our salvation. But when that ship returns into port again, it gets a new cargo. It might be lumber, it might be grain, and then it sets out on a new destination, but it does not normally leave port empty. And when you come to the Lord for salvation, when you are saved by grace, you are just not left empty. You are given to your account, imputed, logged to your personal account before God, all the perfections, all the good works, all the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And they are given to you so that you are made perfectly whole. not just empty, but whole. You are now right with God, righteous in His sight, and declared free from all guilt. That illustration could be again the prodigal son. When he returned to the father, they didn't just clean him up in the old clothes and put them through the washer and say, put them on again. There was a new garment. There was a new ring, new sandals. He was truly welcomed, accepted fully as a son. And you can see that this is what faith does. When you believe on the Lord Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are given all the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Revelation, again, this is described as the white linen of the saints. Revelation 19, that the saints in heaven are robed in white linen. Now, linen, when it is grown, manufactured, processed, and woven, it has to be threshed, beat out. And there is a little picture there of what it cost our Lord Jesus. When he went to the cross, he was beaten, cut off, beaten, bruised, punished, pummeled by the Father. And through those hours of darkness, Jesus offered up an all-efficacious, worthy, perfect, atoning sacrifice that has forever turned away God's wrath. So there is no more wrath, no more punishment for you. You are set free. And that new righteousness, there's a positive side to that too. It's not just a dealing with the old, but there is a reconciliation involved. That by that one death, you are now brought nigh. That's what atonement means, brought nigh, made to be at one with God. You see, sinners are not at one with God. Sinners are at war with God. There's an enmity. There's a distance between the unbeliever, and if you're an unbeliever here today, that means you. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, there is a great chasm, a gulf between you and God. And you need to be reconciled, brought nigh to God, so that when you come to Christ and put faith in His blood and faith in His righteousness, you are given a perfect standing and rightly accepted with God. Now, just as these people, when they touched the hem of the Savior's garment, they were made whole. This transfer of righteousness is a total transfer. It's not a little bit. It's not incremental. It is the absolute total sum of all the perfections of the Lord Jesus. How do I know that? Because Christians are made joint heirs with Christ. Read Romans chapter 8 again. We are made joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. All that He is, we are. All His standing is our standing. And all His perfections becomes that of the believer because we are made to be one with Him. Now, this is the gospel. And what our Lord Jesus did in His earthly ministry as He demonstrated His power in the healing of multitudes of various diseases, He has displayed a gospel illustration for you. And this is your comfort. This is your assurance. And this is your way of salvation. Let me ask you, do you feel the disease of sin eating away at you? Do you feel death, its threat, its canker already at work in you? You need eternal life. You need to be reconciled to God. And here is displayed for you this imputed perfect righteousness, transferred the moment you believe or touch the hem of his garment. Straightway you will be made, as it says here, perfectly whole. Let's take Bible words here, right in Matthew 9:36, perfectly whole. Don't argue with the perfect work of the Lord Jesus. You might be arguing and saying, well, but how can I really take that in? Does that mean that if I died right now, I'd go straight to heaven? Well, it did for the dying thief. It did for Paul the Apostle. It did for all who have believed on the Lord Jesus. And yes, it's true that we are transferred immediately from being guilty, hell-condemned sinners to being children of God, joint heirs with Christ. Now that is the meaning of imputed righteousness. Now I want to deal a little with the character of this imputed righteousness. Firstly, I want to say that it was human. It was a human righteousness. God prepared a body for our Lord Jesus, because an angel could not redeem us. It took one that was formed in our humanity. We are now right at the doctrine miracle of the incarnation, where Mary conceived without an earthly father, and that seed that was born of her was born of the Holy Ghost. This was the Son of God in Mary's womb, so that that Lord Jesus born of her was the Son of Mary, truly human, but also truly God. And everything from the womb to the tomb, our Lord Jesus perfectly, absolutely, totally performed for you. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us on the program. Let me exhort you to send for our Bible study notes. We are beginning in the book of Genesis, God's book of beginnings. And these notes can be used for personal study, family study, or for group study. And so we'd like you to sign up at our website, get our newsletter, and you will receive these weekly Bible studies on God's book of beginnings in Genesis. Or give me a call, send me an email, 604-576-1091. Look forward to hearing from you. The website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And of course, we want you to join us at our church services here at 10:30 and 6 p.m. These Bible study notes will be also at our adult Sunday school. That's at 9:30 Sunday mornings, when we'll be dealing with God's book of beginnings, Genesis. Come along as we study God's word together. Now, our church in Victoria, they meet Sundays 10:30 and 6 at 733 Van Alman Avenue, and they would welcome you along at their Sunday services. You can also join us on our webcast, that is on your computer, phone, or whatever device. Go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and on the front page, right at our service times, 10:30 and 6, the Live Now button will come on, and you can join us by video or audio and listen in, view our church services here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us as we let the Bible speak.